My message today is called Troubleshooting a Troubled Heart. So I don't know if you've ever had to troubleshoot something. Chris is in the tech field, so he does a lot of this. He doesn't have the fancy little head thing, but he answers calls and helps people with their computers and things like that. Paul Newberry is somebody that I go to often when I need to troubleshoot something. And this has been my experience. First of all, troubleshooting, if you need a definition, it means to investigate or deal with in the role of troubleshooter, to basically explore until a solution is found. So this has been my experience. What happens, I'm in that booth back there, something's not going right. I call Chris or I call Paul, and I think of all these elaborate problems it could be, and I try all these things, and then when I'm done trying, I call them. And here's normally what they say. Did you turn it off and turn it back on, right? Has that been your experience? That has been my experience in troubleshooting. And sometimes the solution is just the most simple thing. Turn it off, turn it back on, and it normally works. In John 14:1, Jesus says to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." So we're talking about troubleshooting a troubled heart. It sounds to me that this is evidence, this statement is evidence that we have some responsibility over how we respond to the burdens of life. And I just want to stop now and make my admission. When I look back on this past year, I allowed my heart to be troubled a little bit too much. I really did. I let some things really bother me. I felt stress in my body. Funny story, a couple years ago in Linus League, we brought Megan Owens in to give us massages for the day for Linus League as an end of year gift to the girls. And she said nobody's back had as many knots in it as my back and as Karen's back. And I'm not proud to admit that, but that's my reality. I have let some things bother me. I felt the stress. I've lost a little sleep over some things. And I don't think that I'm the only one. But that's why we're talking about this morning. We're going to troubleshoot this troubled heart thing. The Greek word most commonly translated as troubled in the New Testament is teraso. I did look up the pronunciation, so I'm trying to say it confidently. Teraso, which means to agitate or disturb or unsettle. I just want to paint a picture of what a troubled heart might look like. Another related word is thoreo, meaning to be alarmed or disturbed, often in the context of fear or emotional turmoil. Now, alarms, we're really familiar with those, right? Like, we have our amber alerts, we have smoke alarms, security alarms, seatbelt alarms. Lots of alarms, right? And that word really stuck out to me, alarm. A troubled heart is an alarm. Something isn't right. Something is unsettled. Something is agitated. Something is disturbed. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." There is a very real physical and spiritual reaction to having a troubled heart, isn't there? So it's an alarm. Something's wrong. Hello. If you're not sleeping, if you're stressed, it's an alarm. Something's not the way it's supposed to be. So let's investigate a little bit. Let's troubleshoot. Now, Chris works from home during the week, but sometimes he has to go into the office on Wednesdays. And when he first started doing this is a relatively new job, I asked him how it was going. Did he like going in? Did he like the interaction with people? My husband is very much an introvert, so he didn't really enjoy it. But here was the main reason he said that he did not enjoy it. He goes into the office, they greet each other. There's just a couple people there that he works with. But as the day goes on, nobody plays music or anything. And he said that he noticed his boss was doing a lot of sighing, like a lot. Just every, you know, click, 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 clack, clack, clack. All the time. And then he told me he thought maybe it was contagious because then the other lady got going. And there was just like a lot of sighing going on. And I want to say today, I think that the church is sighing. I think that there's a heaviness. You feel it. I heard some amens. You feel it. I feel it. It's been a very difficult season overall. As a nation, we're divided and dysfunctional. Individually, we're burdened in all sorts of unique ways to you. Beat up from enduring extensive trials and tribulations. Over time, this condition can worsen. I've seen it, and it can turn to apathy or despair or doubt, offense, jadedness, cynicism, defeat, and more. We are a battle-weary people, and that can make joy seem like one of the most evasive fruits of the Spirit. Elusive, maybe, one of those words. But we know that joy is not elusive because it is a fruit of the Spirit. There's no producing it. It comes from being attached to Jesus. It comes from being connected to him. So we have let our hearts become troubled. I see it. I feel it. We've hung our harps on the branches of the poplar trees, like the Israelites in captivity. Have you heard that story? They couldn't sing. They hung up their harps because there was no song that could come out. There was so much despair. And I think if we're not careful, what was once the good news will become old news. Some of you have known the Lord for a long time. We have to be careful. I feel like I've known the Lord for a long time. We have to be careful that that good news of the gospel doesn't become old news to us. No matter what is going on in our world or your world, we must never lose our wonder over Jesus, who the Bible says he is and what the Bible says he came to do. So what is the solution to a troubled heart? You remember how I said in the beginning, sometimes it's the most incredibly simple thing, sometimes the answer. I have an answer. It's him. It's Jesus. It's that simple. He's where the joy is. I'm doing the Bible recap. She ends every single video. He's where the joy is. And it gets me every time. He is where the joy is. It's that simple. It's him. It's Jesus. True joy. Uninterrupted joy. Wouldn't you like to have that this morning? Uninterrupted joy. Resilient joy. Apart from Christ, there is no true joy. There's circumstantial joy. We all know all about that kind of joy. Like, everybody has that kind of joy, whether you know Christ or not. I got what I wanted for Christmas joy. This is, everything's going really well right now joy. That can be taken away, can it? True joy is present and persistent. Present and persistent in spite of what's going on around us. It's a supernatural joy. It doesn't even always make sense. Like, how can you have joy when you're going through one of the hardest things you've ever gone through in your life? It doesn't make sense. If you're a Christian, joy and suffering are not mutually exclusive. We think that it is. We live like it is. Like, it is not mutually exclusive. I have seen this. I have lived this. Something I'll never forget. When I lost my dad, I was 14 years old, and all my siblings were younger than me. I don't know how old they were. But I remember my mom would send us to bed, and she would turn on worship music. And she would dance. I hope you don't mind that I'm sharing this. My mom would dance wildly, wildly around the downstairs living room. I remember it like it was yesterday, because I was like, this does not make sense. Is she okay? Like, something I didn't understand at that time. Joy and suffering are not mutually exclusive. They can coexist. You can be going through something difficult and still have true joy. And she would turn that music on and she would dance around wildly. And the joy of the Lord was her strength. It was her food. It was her sustenance. It was what she needed to get by. And I watched that and I learned from that. There is nothing like that joy. Nothing. No kind of circumstantial joy can replace that kind of joy. You need that joy, and I need it. So I was thinking about Paul and Silas when they're in the prison in Acts 16:22 through 26. Sorry. Here they are doing the work of the gospel. They're doing God's work, and a mob quickly forms against them. In verse 22, The city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. And around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That's true joy, right? Not circumstantial joy. They're not in a good circumstance. They're not in a good place necessarily. But they're singing hymns and they're praying to God. It was their food. It was their sustenance, just like my mom. And the prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations and all of the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. I love that. So praise might not prevent the prison, but it unlocks what's possible there. True joy is possible there. Miracles are possible there. And maybe you're in some type of prison right now. True joy is possible there. Praise unlocks it. It might not prevent it, but it unlocks what's possible there. So I have good news today. A troubled heart can become untroubled again through Jesus. You know how when you're searching on the internet, you search maybe something a couple times and suddenly that's all you see in your algorithm. It's like thrown at you left and right, Google, Facebook, all this stuff. Well, if we can go to the next slide. We got a leopard gecko in November for my son's birthday. He loves this thing. I kind of love this thing. Chris teases me that it's mine and not actually Nolan's because I carry it around on my shoulder. And he's just a really cool little guy. Well, I did lots of research, as you should, because it's a living creature. And now all I see on my Facebook is like leopard gecko stuff. It's just really funny. But if you know, you know. So I now know more about leopard geckos than like any person in this room probably. I don't know. It's just weird. But I saw this picture on this group I'm in. If we could go to the next one. I saw this picture and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a rescued leopard gecko. Anybody think it looks a little unhealthy, a little emaciated, a little bit like it's, you know, knocking on death's door? But then I saw that there was another picture with it. So go to the next one. So day one and day 84, they kind of like rescued it and nursed it back to health. And I just thought to myself, wow, that one looked like it was too far gone, huh? And then somebody took the care and somebody took the time and tended it. And it was a comma moment, not the end of the story moment for that gecko. He went from death's door to thriving. And I think if you have a troubled heart today, it is an alarm. Make no mistake about that. Something is not right and needs attention, but it's not too late to turn it around. I'm talking true joy, I'm not talking circumstantial joy. It might take some time and it might take some tending, but we know a God who is up for the job. We know how much he cares for us. The Bible says to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. So three quick points to troubleshoot a troubled heart. I'm praying that God will do something amazing in this room today, even apart from what I'm saying, even apart from what happens, that he will literally speak to you his words, his care. So number one is very practical. Allow yourself to have fun. There's nothing wrong with fun. I don't know when we got this idea that there was. Become like a child again. Did you know children laugh like hundreds of times a day? Like hundreds of times. We watched Little Addie twice this week, actually, because what was the first time for? I can't remember. It was stuff that had to do with the church, the membership class and something else. And we watched her. That little girl never stops giggling. It is just the sweetest thing. And I was like, wow, I was preparing for this. And I'm like, I really don't laugh a lot. But adults only laugh like 15 to 20 times a day compared to the hundreds of times that children do. It's okay to have fun. Right? When we hosted a workshop for a few churches that wanted to go through laying out a vision, Libby knows what I'm talking about. We were talking about one of our statements says fun in it. Can anybody find it? That one back there. We dream of a church where evangelism is consistently taught with passion and practice in an intentional fun and life-changing way. Well, one of the gentlemen from the other churches had a problem with our word fun, didn't he? He did not like that we picked the word fun. He really took offense to that. It was so crazy to me. I was like, what? But here's what he said. He was like, when I think of fun, I think of strip clubs and like things like that. And I'm thinking, what in the world? I'm like, this guy is on that church's leadership team and laying out a vision. I'm like, there is nothing wrong with fun. Amen? Amen. There is nothing wrong with laughing. The Bible has all kinds of statements about laughing and a merry heart and, you know, things like that. He really took offense to that word, and it just, we kind of joked about it for the next several weeks as we were preparing. But good, clean fun, okay? Nothing that takes you into sin or addiction or anything like that. Enjoy the life that God gave you. I love kayaking. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love kayaking with my family. Little Miles, we call him Migratory Miles because he'll go from Chris's kayak to my kayak to Nolan's kayak and back. He doesn't want his own. He just wants to hop all around. And we have so much fun doing that. Like, it's just good, clean fun. I like playing board games. Blake loves playing board games. Nobody likes playing games like Blake and Jared, I think. How many games do you think you have? 128 board games. So I don't buy board games anymore. I just, you know, ask Blake if I can borrow. But hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I guess I did say if it leads to addiction, it might be an issue. But why don't you grab coffee with a friend? Anybody like doing that? That's so fun. I know Rebecca likes to do that. I love to go to the thrift store. I like to jam out in my car to upbeat worship music and play the drums on the steering wheel. I like to do all kinds of things, and I know you do too. There is nothing wrong with that. It keeps your heart from being troubled, because the more you focus on problems and issues, man, it's going to drag your spirit down. It's just, this is very practical, but just allow yourself to have fun. A good scripture for that is James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Your family, your children. Man, I love to laugh with my family. There's nothing like it. Number two, this is a little more spiritual than the last one. Change your confession. God's been really speaking to me about this. Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your confession in life is, and I'm not trying to be unloving or anything like that, but if your confession is in life is, I can't do this. This is hard. Like, life is hard. This is impossible. That's not a good confession to have. When Moses sent the 12 spies to scope out the promised land, 10 out of 12 of them gave a bad report. The Bible literally says, quote unquote, a bad report. You know what they said? We can't go up against these people. They're stronger than us. We are like grasshoppers in our own sight. There were only two of the 12 that said, God said we can do this. Let's do it. Like, let's go take the land. And the Bible calls it a bad report. So was that the report of the Lord? No. So whose report will you believe in your life? What kind of report will you give daily? Psalms 27:13, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's not going to be, not everything is going to be perfect, but that's what we're talking about. True joy, not circumstantial joy. I would have lost heart, except I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalms 23, you know how they talk about people who see the glass half empty? Be honest. Are you a person who sees the glass? There are some people that are just, they struggle with that. And then there are some people that see the glass half full. I'm telling you what, I'm not neither. You should be neither. My cup runs over, okay? My cup completely runs over. I'm not half empty. I'm not half full. My cup runs over. That's my confession. And the word of God should be our confession. It's not about what we feel. It's about what's true. And his word is true, and he is faithful. Number three, put on praise. To put on the garment of praise is a spiritual metaphor. It's not put on praise music. It's literally put on praise like a garment. Put it on. This metaphor is rooted in Isaiah 61:3, where God promises to replace a spirit of despair with a garment of praise, symbolizing restoration and joy. Not a literal piece of clothing, but represents a deliberate, intentional choice to worship God, focus on his goodness, even in the midst of hardship. This is your prison position, okay? Put on praise. The act of putting on this garment involves shifting one's focus from personal struggles to the glory and faithfulness of God. It's not about ignoring pain, but choosing to align oneself with God's promises and purposes, thereby breaking the chains of despair. Amen. That's so good. It's not about ignoring pain, but choosing to align yourself with God's promises and purposes. Lamentations 3:19 through 23. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see how they can coexist at once? The suffering and the true joy. So what about you this morning? Are you troubled? Do you have a troubled heart? You may have every reason in the world to hang your harp this morning. But is that really what God wants for us as we go through life, as we navigate life? This is the invitation. Matthew 11:28-30. I want you to close your eyes and envision Jesus speaking this to you. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, his message today is not to condemn us. His message is out of care for us. He does not want you to carry something you were never meant to carry. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. This is my favorite scripture. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I love that scripture. John 16:33. Charlie, if you could start making your way. 1 Peter 5:7, we mentioned this already. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Man, I think about how much I love my family, how much I love my kids, how much I love my church family. And it cannot even compare to how much God loves you and how much God loves me. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. There is no condemnation for feeling, for sighing, for feeling burdened, for feeling troubled. But he has an invitation for us today, and that's to cast our cares. That's to come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. I will give you joy. I will give you peace. First Peter 1:6-8. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you have never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. That's where true joy comes from, is trusting. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we sang this today. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. This is our confession. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Never. Never. There's a song that I listen to it so much, my kids know it. I think it has like hundreds of plays on my Spotify. But it's by this girl named Callie, and she lost her daughter when she was 2 years old. And she wrote a spontaneous song that she ended up like turning into a real song and releasing it. And it says, I've been in the valley of the shadow of death, and even there, I've been just about as low as it gets, and even there, you are with me. I encourage you to go listen to that song it's called Even There. But this is who we are. Hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. So today we troubleshoot. It's the simplest thing. We reset. We make sure we are in his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. If you need Jesus to minister to you today and begin turning your morning to dancing, I am not saying that you're not going through something hard right now. We're not talking about circumstantial joy. We are talking about true joy that persists even in the middle of hardship. The answer is simple. It's Jesus. It's him. He is where the joy is. There is nothing like knowing him. There is nothing like hanging on to him in the good times and in the bad times, in every season of our lives. Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time for all these things, but he is with us through every moment. He does not abandon us. He's where the joy is. And I just want to invite you this morning, if you have felt troubled like me, if you have felt burdened and heavy by what's going on in the world around us or your own life, your own unique trials, I invite you to come and spend some time with Jesus at this altar. This is a place where we can meet with God. And I would ask that nobody come pray for them at once. I want you to hear God for yourself this morning, because he's where the joy is. He's where the comfort is. And then maybe we'll have some people gather around you. But just if it's in your seat, or if you would like to come forward, and just as a sign of I'm laying this down and I'm not picking it up again. I want true joy that endures, that persists. If you would come now and just let him speak to your heart. Let him lift you. Let him encourage you like David. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. There's no other way. Just come now and let him speak to you. Let him comfort you. That's what his word says. Come to me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I care for you. I love you. Take my yoke. Take my burden. Again, if we could just have nobody praying for them right now, I want us to lean into God himself. He's here for us. He never abandons us. If you're in your seats, just make that your altar place. Cast your cares. Unburden your heart. He's where the joy is. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel led and want to pray for somebody at the altar, just feel free. That is another way that we cast our burdens. Lord, I don't know all the reasons that we might have troubled hearts in this room today. I know some of them, Lord. Some of us are grieving. Some of us are bitter. Some of us have resentment or unforgiveness. Some of us have extreme pain. Some of us are sick. Some of us are struggling with relationships and strained relationships, Lord. But you said to cast your cares. So we're doing that today. We are making a choice today, because even though we have big trials and big emotions sometimes, you are a big God and you can handle these things. So we lay them at your feet.
today because you care for us, Lord. I just want to end the service this morning with a benediction. If you are at the altar, feel free to just stay as long as you like. If we could just put the benediction up. This is the song, Is He Worthy? And God was just speaking to me through this song. I want you guys to respond with the red letters, and this will be our closing. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? And is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Does the Father truly love us? And does the Spirit move among us? Does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for this time here today. I just trust that as your word went forth, that it will do what it sets out to do, Lord. Not because I was the messenger or anything like that, Lord, but because your word is effective and it is true, and we hang on to it. We build our lives on it, like the wise man builds his house on the rock. We build our lives on you, God. Lord, I pray your comfort and your care over every person in this room, God. I pray for a joy that doesn't make sense. As we navigate this world and all its trials and all the things that trouble us and trouble our hearts, Lord, we know that you are the answer. We know your peace. We know your joy because we know you. And if we are not abiding, if we are not connected, Lord, I pray that from this point forward, God, that we would begin to reset our hearts. Lord, that we would troubleshoot this, that we would spend more time in your word. We would spend more time confessing things that line up with your word, that we would have fun, God. Lord, that we would put on praise like a garment, God. Not ignoring pain, but inviting you into it. We just thank you for who you are, God. Just touch every heart today, and we seal it. We seal what the Holy Spirit has done. And we thank you that you give us a joy that you give. The world doesn't give it. The world doesn't take it away. We just bless your people today. Let them have an awesome rest of their week and a week where they abide in you, God, and you do what only you can do, supernatural joy. Supernatural joy for this journey, God. We just bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.